This is the work of wisdom, and the last chapter that deals specifically with wisdom. We find in verse 1, wisdom has builded her house, she has hewn out her seven pillars. Now, this again, speaking of Christ, who is indeed building a house today. These seven pillars seem to speak of the seven apostles upon which the foundation is laid. Verse 2, she has killed her beast, telling us of Christ there at the cross. She has mingled her wine. That word mingle means flavored with spices, and speaks of the power of the Holy Spirit. Came on the day of Pentecost. She has also furnished her table, made full provision for this age, for everyone. And then in verse 3, she has sent forth her maidens. This is the messengers of redemption, the overcomers especially. She cries upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, this is her message, whoso is simple, it tells us of the old creation that realizes, when a person realizes his need. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As him that wants understanding, she says to him, come eat of my bread, drink of the wine which I have mingled, forsake the foolish, and live, and go in the way of understanding. And this is the outline of what God gives for us today. That is, to eat of the bread, even Christ is the true bread from heaven, and then to drink of the wine, to partake deeply of the power of the Holy Spirit, forsake the foolish, that is the foolishness of man's wisdom and the foolishness of man's ideas and the ways that we have gone before, and then go in the way of understanding the ways of God, the will of God. Verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the knowledge of the holy is understanding, as we've noticed before. Verse 13, a foolish woman is clamorous. Now, again, there is the contrast of the true woman or the true wisdom and the false, which is religion. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house in the seat of the high places to call passengers who go on their way. Now, at this point, we see, of course, we saw in the previous chapter or two, how zealous that the religion is. But at this point, just seems like she doesn't have to do anything in order to make her message heard. Now, there is some effort put forth in verse 3. True wisdom cries upon the highest places. But notice that this woman just sits on the door of her house in the high places. She calls passengers who go right on their ways. And it seems that way today, that error just doesn't have any trouble at all taking hold. People will believe error and they won't believe the truth to save your soul. And it just seems like they accept it so readily. So we have the same thing here. But notice her message. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wants understanding, she says to him. Now I want you to notice verses 4 and verses 16, because they are identical. And it tells us that error and truth are so closely allied today that we must have the power of the Holy Spirit to detect the difference. Paul says, try the spirits to see whether they be of God, for many false spirits are going out into the world today. And so they seem to have the same message. They seem to have the same thing to tell. And yet they really don't, because in verse 17, she says, stolen waters are sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Get by with the very best you can. It's always, you enjoy it more that way. I've heard people say, doing something, you know, and later they find out there wasn't anything wrong with it anyway. Well, I enjoyed it a whole lot more when I thought there's something wrong with it. This is just the nature of man, you know, thinking that something like that. But anyway, stolen waters are sweet. Bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Verse 18, but he knows not that the dead are there and that her guests are in the depths of hell. So this is the result of the ways, whether you get true wisdom, which goes in the way of understanding, or whether you go with the falsity in the world, which indeed takes hold on the depths of hell. All right, chapter 10 begins what is known as disconnected proverbs. That is, each verse, actually, or group of verses, has its own thought. All right. Verse 11, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. Violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Now, you'll find many contrasts here, like this one. A righteous man is contrasted with the mouth of the wicked. So a righteous man, his mouth is a well of life, which means that we can speak words of goodness, we can speak words of edification unto other people. But the words of a violent mouth are wickedness. as we find, violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sin. So you see the contrast that follows as a matter of course, and the way to obtain true love is to yield to the power of the Holy Spirit. True love is found in 1 Corinthians 13. There is a catalog of all the things that define real love, and all of those things are true of Christ. Verse 13, in the lips of him that has understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Verse 22, the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich. He adds no sorrow with it. That is, when the Lord blesses you, then there is no sorrow about ill-gotten gain. When the Lord just comes and pours out his blessings on us, we reap the joys of that. When some people get ill-gotten gain, they enjoy it for a while, and then they begin to feel bad about it and don't enjoy it at all. But the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Verse 25, as the whirlwind passes, so is the wicked no more. The righteousness is an everlasting foundation, and so the wicked are here and gone if they do not believe upon the Lord, but the righteous are an everlasting foundation, that is, they have eternal life. Chapter 11 deals with the heart, tells us of our attitudes. A false balance is abomination of the Lord. This false balance is the puny standards of men, and sometimes they come up with some kind of standards. And it is abomination to the Lord. But a just weight is his delight, and that just weight is the word of God. Verse 5, the righteous of the perfect shall direct his way. The wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. And this is true because you've heard the saying, give a man enough rope and he'll hang himself. Well, this is about what happens. You let man go in his wickedness long enough and he'll do himself in. All right. Verse 20, they that are froward heart are abomination to the Lord. Such as are upright in their way are his delight. This froward means presumptuous, as we've noticed, or very much contrary or against God. Verse 24, there is that scatters or gives and yet increases. There is that withholds more than his meat, but it tends to poverty. And this is what I was saying at the beginning of the class, that you withhold from the Lord in anything, and it tends to poverty. But if you give not only what you have, but what you are, it always increases. This is just the Philippians 4:19 is the answer to this riddle, if you want to read that when you get home. Verse 25, the liberal soul shall be made fat. He that waters shall be also watered himself. All right, again, you be liberal and giving unto others, you'll be made fat. And watering or blessing others, you're also watered. And this applies, you can be a stick in the mud and feel sorry for yourself, and you'll keep feeling sorry for yourself. But if you water others, if you refresh others and bless them, you'll be blessed too. Now, we can guarantee that, not on the authority of what I say, but on the authority of what the Word of God says. Verse 29, if you don't believe it, try it. Next time you're feeling like your face is as long as a mule, try being nice to somebody. Just pour out some blessing on them and see if it don't do something for you. All right, verse 29, he that troubles his own house shall inherit the wind. Well, I hate to see this when people trouble their own house. Just come in and stir up a big old burly fight. And I've been around people that have done this, no cause at all, and it just makes you sick. But he that troubles his own house shall inherit the wind. The fool shall be servant to the wise of heart. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, that is Christ. He that wins souls is wise. The righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner. All right. The next chapter deals with our thoughts. We will notice that a little bit later. Whoso loves instruction loves knowledge. He that hates reproof is brutish, or is like a beast. And this refers to the one that knows it all. When a person gets to where you can't tell him anything, then Scripture says he's just like a beast. He's like some incoherent animal. But if you love instruction, whoso loves instruction loves knowledge. Verse 2, a man obtains favor of the Lord, a good man rather, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. Now that doesn't mean that the Lord will condemn them, but it means that a righteous man or a good man will condemn the wicked. And he condemns the wicked in the world by his righteous acts. He shows up the difference, you see, righteousness and unrighteousness. This is why often you have, and this was this came out last couple of years or a year or so ago, how that a man was in his business. Now, whether he was a Christian or not, I don't know. But he was looking for an employee that was a Christian, because he said, they're the only righteous people or the only honest people that I've found. Everybody else takes out of the till when I'm not looking. So he wanted a Christian. Well, you see, even the world can see this very thing. And so we find here that a good man obtains favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. Or the righteous man actually shows that up. Verse 5, the thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. So again, I say this deals with our thoughts. Verse 9, he that is despised and has a servant is better than he that honors himself and lacks bread. So we are despised today. We are the offscouring of all things, as the Apostle Paul says. But we have a servant. God even makes our enemies to serve us, whether they know it or not. They do. So he that despises and has a servant is better than he that honors himself, the one that is proud and so full of himself, and he lacks bread. That is, he is in poverty and he has nothing that really satisfies him through and through. Verse 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. And this refers to the man that just can't make a mistake. But he that hearkens unto counsel is wise, listening to what others say. Verse 17, he that speaks truth shows forth righteousness, but a false witness, deceit. Verse 21, there shall no evil happen to the just. Now that word happen is the important word in this verse, because this prudent man that conceals knowledge is the one that that does not try to tell everything that he knows. He is not one to show off his own abilities. Even though the Lord has given him wonderful revelations, he doesn't go out and declare how bright he is and how smart he is and how much he knows. If you do that, I can say the Lord will be faithful to show you how much you don't know. But a prudent man does conceal knowledge, and he doesn't always show off how much that he really knows. Verse 25, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word makes it glad. And so we find sometimes that we're bowed down with care and our hearts are just so burdened, but a good word, someone comes along and speaks the good word, which is the scripture unto us, and it makes it glad. Verse 28, in the way of righteousness is life, in the pathway thereof there is no death. And so eternal life taught throughout the scripture. Chapter 13, a wise son in verse 1 hears his father's instruction, that is the word, but a scorner hears not rebuke. Verse 4, the soul of the sluggard desires and has nothing, the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Verse 7, there is that makes himself rich, yet has nothing. There is that makes himself poor, yet has great riches. And we've gone into this and the same application. Verse 12, hope deferred makes the heart sick. That is, you're looking for something and it just doesn't come. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. And so it is. Sometimes we've set our hopes on something that didn't happen and made us sick. Well, then the desire cometh that we wanted, and it is a tree of life. It just revives us. And this is especially true concerning the things of God. Verse 13, whoso despises the word shall be destroyed. And that's true, because if men do not listen to the word of God, spiritual increase is put down. He that fears the commandment shall be rewarded. Verse 19, the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. It is abomination to fools to depart from evil. Verse 1 of chapter 14, every wise woman builds her house, but the foolish plucks it down with her hands. Again, two women contrasted here. The wise woman is wisdom, or Christ, or righteousness, the things of the new man. The foolish, some thinks it is very spiritual to condemn others and to put them down and to destroy them. Not so. It is it's foolishness to do that. The only way that we are really wise is when we're able to edify others and to build them up, to build something. It has often been said anybody can tear something down, but it takes a real craftsman to build something, and this is true. So we want to be builders and not destroyers. Verse 4, where no oxen are, the crib is clean. That means where there is not a faithful pastor, there is no spiritual increase. Much increases by the strength of the ox or the pastor. This is why that we should give so much reverence And that doesn't mean calling him reverend either. But this is why we should give so much place unto our pastors, to continually pray for them and to be submissive unto them. Verse 11, the house of the wicked shall be overthrown, the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. The house of the wicked being contrasted with the tabernacle of the upright. The house of the wicked, he's the one that thinks he has everything on foundations and everything is just going to stand throughout all eternity and nothing will hurt it. Well, it shall be overthrown. But the tabernacle, that little old flimsy tent that don't amount to anything as far as the elements are concerned, it is going to flourish. Verse 12, there is a way which seems right unto a man. That is the natural wisdom of man. I don't know how anything can be so, seem so right to be so wrong, would be the natural expression. But nevertheless, this is true. It seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so, generally, the thing that seems so right to man is the fact that he must just work in order to do something for the Lord and preserve himself and gain salvation. It will never happen. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. You hear that today. People just laugh so loudly, and you can tell it's just an outward show. They're really not enjoying themselves. It may last for a season, but then in the end of that mirth is heaviness. They go right back into their despair. Verse 15, the simple, or the fool, believes every word, but the prudent man looks well to his going. And so the fool believes anything he hears. But you better not believe everything you hear today or you'll wind up in St. Joe. Anyway, the fool believes every word he hears, but the prudent man looks well to his going. Cannot believe all the logic and philosophy and the theology and things that are in this world today. Verse 17, he that is soon angry deals foolishly. A man of wicked devices is hated. And so we find that it is not a good attribute to always fly off the handle just as quick. Some people think this is a very good a way of impressing people. If you can get mad real big and real quick, then that's the way to do it, but not according to the scripture. Verse 23, in all labor there is profit, out of the talk of the lips, but the talk of the lips tendeth to penury or poverty. So this tells us it's better to work than to talk. Some people would spend more time working than they do talking. They wouldn't have as much trouble as they do. Chapter 15, verse 8, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. The prayer of the upright is his delight. Now, it is just intimated here what the sacrifice of the wicked is. What it is talking. And it is abomination to the Lord. But notice, the prayer of the upright is his delight. Here are some words that are beneficial. Verse 9, the way of the wicked is abomination to the Lord. He loves him that follows after righteousness. Correction is grievous unto him that forsakes the way. He that hates reproof shall die. So our attitude to the things that come upon us are very important, whether we accept them from the hand of the Lord or whether we become very obstinate and begin to blame people for them. Verse 12, a scorner loves not one that reproves him, neither will he go unto the wise. That is, he'll not seek counsel of anyone. Verse 15, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart has a continual feast. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Well, you find this in the natural world today. Some people have multi-thousand-dollar homes, and yet they're not happy. So they have everything that would seemingly make you glad, and yet they don't fear the Lord, so they don't have really a merry heart at all. But better it is to have a little with the fear of the Lord, to believe God, than a great treasure. Verse 17, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. Now, this simply means it's better to eat just plain old vegetables than it is to have a stalled ox or one being fattened to eat, have steak on the table, and have hatred therewith. If you can eat an old cold carrot with love, it is better to do that than to eat a steak with a heart full of hate. Well, this is what the world is doing. You see, they're lusting after the very best that the world has to offer, and they're not finding any happiness or any joy because they do not have the Lord. Verse 30, the light of the eyes rejoices the heart. A good report makes the bones fat. Well, The same thing is true in both of these cases. The light of the eyes, that is the Word of God that we perceive, it rejoices the heart. It makes us happy when we receive revelations of the Word of God. There's nothing that can thrill us like the Scripture can. And then a good report. Again, the Word of God makes the bones fat. We have real spiritual increase. Verse 32, he that refuses instruction despises his own soul. He that hears reproof gets understanding. If men refuse instruction of the Word of God, they actually are saying that they despise or hate their own soul because they're doomed for hell if they do not accept Christ. Spiritual poverty if they are saved and still refuse to hear the Word of God. Chapter 16, verse 3, commit thy works unto the Lord, thy thoughts shall be established. So we believe God for all things, and he takes care of these troublous minds that we have. Because our minds can run wild, Satan can get a hold of them. Paul tells us over in, I believe it's 2 Corinthians 10, about our thoughts and how every thought can be brought into the obedience of the mind of Christ. Well, commit your works unto the Lord, your thoughts will be established. Verse 5, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. We can, of course, be this even after we're saved. That simply means that we can be independent of God. We cannot be submissive unto him. Not do what he wants us to do. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. That is, though the enemy unite hands and join one another against God, they're still going to be punished. They're still going to be judged by God. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. That is, by mercy and truth that we show unto others, as well as the Lord showing unto us, iniquity is purged. We don't get anywhere by judging others, but rather by showing them grace. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Put God first. This is the way to overcoming, you see. The fear of the Lord, being in submission unto the Lord, then we can depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. And so the Lord does this. He enables us to get along with people today that others cannot possibly get along with. And it's just, we must continue to believe God for just that very thing, too. Verse 18, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. It simply means we must go down before we can go up. Verse 32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He that rules his spirit than he that takes a city. Well, the best way I can tell you to rule your own spirit is to give that spirit in the hand of the Holy Spirit, to let him take control of it. Because we cannot. Chapter 17, better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. Again, we've had the same thing previously. Verse 9, he that covers a transgression seeks love. He that repeats a matter separates very friends. And that simply means to, rather than blabbing everything you know about someone, which would tend to strife and things like this, and very maliciously talking about them, well, keep that covered up, rather than trying to stir up a lot of trouble. Verse 10, a reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. And this simply means that when a man is wise, you can talk to him easier, and he will accept it more than if you beat the tar out of a fool. Verse 11, the evil man seeks only rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. 27, he that has knowledge spareth his words. A man of understanding is an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise, and he that shuts his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. And this simply, again, means that he that has knowledge spares his words. Sometimes people think, the more you talk, the more you know. Well, this is not always the case. They tell me, Sister Bodie used to say that it is better to shut your mouth and let people think you're a fool than to open it and prove that you are one. So we find the same thing here, that even if you are a fool, if you hold your peace, you're counted wise. So if you find me not talking, well, you know what I'm doing. Chapter 18, verse 8, the words of a talebearer are his wounds, and they go down in the innermost parts of the belly. Well, we find that the words of a talebearer are as wounds. These actually hurt. And, of course, God can use these things. People tell falsehoods and things like this about us, and they go down into the belly, innermost parts of the belly. They hurt. Words can hurt you sometimes more than someone walking up and popping you one in the face.